College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss and banter back and forth all about one of our favorite sports in the land, especially the regular season. College football, of course, I'm speaking of. We mostly talk about what goes on the field. Once in a while, we'll, you know, jump from some outside topics, whether it's a player or a coach moving here or there or whatever. But obviously on this show, for this episode, I should say, we're definitely going to focus in on some of these major, major bowl games. We're going to dive right into Oklahoma and LSU and Clemson and Ohio State, the national semifinals that come up this Saturday. It's kind of nice. We were just talking about it off air that, you know, we have both the New Year's games and some right before it or after it have its own time, and the semifinals have their own time. So it's not just squash all together on one day or on New Year's Eve, which always kind of sucks. So like I said, we'll start there. We don't have a recap section like our normally show, you know, like our show does. There hasn't been even that many bowls that have taken place. But then we'll go over some of the big games, Georgia and Baylor and Oregon and Wisconsin and my Minnesota Gophers and Auburn and Michigan, Alabama. I mean, there's definitely some intriguing games, no doubt about it, that we'll break down and talk through. Notre Dame and Iowa State is another one. Memphis, Penn State. It's always fun to see the non-Power 5 teams, see how they do. USC and Iowa, that's actually an interesting game as well. So there's a variety of games that we'll get to in just a moment. But if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, it can be found right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You know, we stream it live. It's also archived. It's basically the headquarters to listen to the College Ball Show under the Ropeadope Radio podcast. You can find it anywhere. It doesn't just have to be on Blog Talk. It could be Apple Podcasts, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really all across the internet. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including iHeartRadio. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find each platform. They also have a great sponsor over there at thegruelingtruth.net. It's betnow.eu with the promo code TGT. So head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or maybe you already have, I got something for you. I actually used the product myself. It's called AT&T TV Now. Okay, so it's AT&T TV Now. It's streaming live cable. They have the 7-day free trial. However, the plans start as low as $50 a month. There's no annual contract. You could stream it anywhere. They do have the cloud DVR that they've made advancements technology-wise in the last little bit. And so, yeah, $50 a month, AT&T TV Now. You can just get the channels that you want. You don't have to pay an arm and a leg. It's located really a lot of different places, New York, California, Texas, Florida, here in Minneapolis, St. Louis. So it's a growing brand, AT&T TV Now. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and see how he's doing. He's actually, you know, he talks – about Texas, because that's where he lives and coaches. But, you know, he spent a fair amount of time in Minnesota, and that's exactly where he is for Christmas. How you doing, Marshall?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's nice to be back home, even if it's only for 4 to 5 days, because we got 2 basketball games over Christmas break, but home until the day after Christmas and back to Texas. But and it's thankfully not that cold, so I'm not suffering. I don't miss the cold weather at all, and we're not even in single digits. So I guess the weather gods have been nice to me. Overall, like usual, Chris, the bull season's off to a little bit of a rough start for me, you know, for my picks. I really did think that FAU, they opened up as FAU is a 3-point underdog to SMU, and then FAU, their two best receivers and tight end just, I think, sat out for maybe potentially like drafting, and then 3 guys got suspended. And Lane Kiffin went to Ole Miss, and I was like, well, man, six guys are out that are starters. The head coach is gone. SMU should take care of business. No, no. Florida Atlantic scored 52 points and finished the year off on a high note, even with my man gone. So that didn't go so well. And I also picked Marshall in a game that was literally just played. I know that, in my opinion, UCF had been a little overvalued this year from, like, the Vegas perspective, a little too high of a spread. And today they were a 15.5-point favorite, which I thought was way too high against Marshall, who was a decent team. But when Marshall had three fumbles and an interception in the first 50 minutes of the game, it was tough. And they fought back a little bit, couldn't get a backdoor cover. So a couple of bad beats to start off the show, unfortunately. But yeah, so the rant is over, Chris. Now we can be more positive, looking forward to better bowl games in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, hey, we're trying to hold the audience at the start, not talk about some random bullshit games. But hey, that's okay. It is a personal thing, so I do appreciate it. And, you know, it just goes to show you, you know, that you got to be real picky when it comes to bowl season, man. You got to be real picky. And even if you are real picky, you end up getting burnt. You end up getting burnt. But anyway, let's go. Yeah, it is what it is. It's hard to tell which team, though, comes out like gangbusters and which team doesn't. So it's pretty crazy that way. So we'll jump right into the national semifinals. We'll go to the game that most people have LSU winning. Of course, I'm speaking of number one LSU and number four Oklahoma. Our favorite indicator, at least my co-host, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, 67.3 percentage tile that tells you that LSU is going to win. If you look at the quarterbacks, you don't get much better than this. Of course, Burrow, who won the Heisman, hands down, threw for 48 touchdowns, 4,700 yards, and only six picks. And Hurts wasn't that far behind him. He led his team in rushing, 18 touchdowns, 1,255 yards, threw for 32, only seven picks as well, and 3,600 yards through the air. Of course, C.J. Lamb and Chase kind of stand out, you know, from the wide receiver skilled stuff. But, you know, I think that's where the difference is, even at running back, although we'll see about that. There is some issues with both running backs a little bit, but clearly the skill positions side on LSU, who has the juggernaut offense. I mean, this game, Marshall, it has an over-under of 76. Now, there's a defensive end, I believe, out for Oklahoma, who leads the team in sacks. There's a running back out, but as we've documented very well here, I don't think they're going to miss too many running backs, because it's not like they used a ton of running back action when they were relying so much on the legs and the arm of Jalen Hurts. So over under 76 was just crazy for a championship style game. I know this is semifinals, but it's basically the playoffs, right? 13.5-point spread. I don't know if the running back, the little bowling ball with quickness running back, is going to be 100% for this game from LSU. But will it really matter in generally? I mean, losing that defensive end, who's one of their best, if not their best, that hurts because of the pass game, getting pressure and whatnot. But it's not like that defense was too intimidating anyway from the Sooners. How do you see this game going down? You think it'll just be a back-and-forth game and in one kind of later in the game, or you think LSU is going to come out like gangbusters?
I don't see how Oklahoma does enough to stay in the game. I mean, we've normally, Oklahoma's been in this situation the past couple of years with a great offense and a rough defense, but their offense isn't quite as good this year. You know, you're giving LSU time to game plan. Enough to just come up with a plan that basically surrounds around stopping Jalen Hurts. I mean, in big games in his time, Coach O's won every big game he's been in. I mean, obviously, okay, besides Saban, like, he's had a great track record. So I just don't see Oklahoma's – and you can say that Oklahoma has time to scout against LSU, but LSU's got the best offense in the country. And I know Oklahoma did make a lot of strides this year defensively, but they've not played an offense like LSU. So I just don't see how the game stays close, Chris. I mean, I think that Jalen Hurts is going to score, because you can argue Lincoln Riley is a great offensive mind too. But I think if Oklahoma's got the lesser offense and probably the lesser defense. So if you're not going to win either side of the ball, I don't see how they're able to stay in this game for, you know, into the second half. I mean, Oklahoma played good defense against Baylor, but Baylor's, you know, they're not known for their offense. I think they're going to be having a lot of trouble, because I think LSU is going to score probably 38 to 45 points for sure. So you're going to have to, you're going to have to get in a shootout with them, and no one's really been able to out-shoot out LSU. And if LSU wants to slow down and run the ball, they have the ability to do that too. I don't know what angle, Chris, if you're an Oklahoma, you know, coach or person, what angle do you attack LSU on? I mean, do you really try to maybe slow the game down? I guess to make it a longer possession game, but that's not really your style. If you want Jalen Hurts to run the ball 27 times, you can do that. But as we saw most of the games in the second half of the games, Chris, Oklahoma would almost blow a lead. So I'm just not sure what tricks Lincoln Riley has to try to win this game, other than say, let's go for a shootout. And if you do that, no one's been able to run up and down the field better than LSU. So I guess, what angle do you think that Oklahoma can maybe expose? Because just on the paper, I don't see where they're going to make this a close game.
Well, I could see it being close, but not being in much danger. You know, having a 7 or 10 point lead a lot of the time. If you look at Texas way back in September, that was the track meet, 45 to 38. They hung with them, and that is a team that had better offense at that point. But then you start to look at it and you go, well, Florida had a really good defense. They hung with them till it was like 28-28, and then LSU took that game over 42-28. Now Auburn's another one, 23-20. That was the closest game of the year, but it's that defense that kept him in there. So you can look at Florida, you can look at some of those teams. Even Alabama has a better defense overall, and it just seems like they're peaking at the right time. But I'd have to say, since this is Jalen Hurts' last game, if they haven't been afraid to abuse him running the ball, they're not going to be now. And I'd say that's really beyond the obvious, well, they need to create turnovers, and when they get in the red zone, to score as many touchdowns, or make sure you score a field goal without any kind of turnover on downs or you know, mishaps or turnovers. So, yeah, you'd have to get turnovers. But I think the biggest thing is, they both throw the ball a lot. One is averaging 386. That's LSU a game. But the other one in Oklahoma is still averaging 300. Now, here's the difference, though. They rush for 250 yards per game, the Sooners, compared to 167. And it's not like they can't run. They got plenty of time in the pocket. So why not do that? And also, we know that they don't – the LSU defense isn't 100% real deal, and we've seen that time and time again. Now, you could say they got a little better against Georgia in spots, a couple of plays in that Texas game, in that Florida game, in that Alabama game. It was actually the defense bailing them out. So I'm not saying it hasn't improved, but if you look at, you know, they give up very close to rushing yards, both of them, and they actually give up more passing yards. Now, some of that is playing from behind too. We got to play that in, but I'd say the running game, when you're 250 and the other side's 167, you got to be able to run the ball. And I'd say that's LSU still at 21 points a game. It's not like they're 14 and or 9 or 10 or something like that, some sort of insane number defensively, especially when you equate it to the college football game, which can be high scoring in plenty of games, or throughout the games you're just going to run into that. But yeah, beyond really holding on to the ball and having 12, 13 play drives that last 5 to 7 minutes and getting a key turnover, and then, you know, being that bend but don't break. Sometimes they've broke in this season. Other times they've played okay, better than we've seen. So, yeah, I think the running game is going to be key. But with that said, they know that, you know, and I just don't know if you're, you know, if you weren't going to get a ton of pressure on Burrow and be able to shut him or slow him down, not shut him down, but slow him down, and then you lose your best pass rusher, that doesn't bode well. So yeah, I'm up in there in the 40 to 27 range or 41 to 27, something like that. I think it'll still be high scoring, but, yeah, I guess just try to get those 5 and 7 minute, you know, blocks of time where you can hold the ball to keep that offense off the field, but also wear down that LSU defense that has had moments of vulnerability.
Yeah, and that's just your best bet. It's just unfortunately they're pretty much kind of a version of Oklahoma, just better this year than what Oklahoma's been. And you got the Heisman quarterback making plays, so it'll be a tough game. You know, I remember when they played Georgia a couple of years ago, they had a 14 point lead after a scoop and score defensive touchdown, and they weren't able to hold on to it. So I mean, they've been there. This has been the Oklahoma's MO. They keep making the playoff, but they keep struggling to beat the teams that they're facing. So I expect a close competitive game in the first half, but I think in the second half, as you mentioned, like with LSU with Florida, LSU with Auburn, it's just too much. There's going to be too much offense. And, again, if you want to run Jalen Hurts 28 times, LSU is going to be ready for that, and they'll probably contain him a little better than he's faced before. I don't know. But it's going to be hard. You're right, Chris. They have to win the turnover battle. You can't settle at all for red zone field goals. You got to score points, because even if you're Oklahoma, let's say you're up 20 to 10 at halftime, you still got to imagine the second half LSU scoring 28, 31 points. So their barrage of points is going to come at some point. So we'll see. You know, to go to the game later in the night, though, I think we're talking about what should be a much more competitive game, which is Clemson against Ohio State. It's a beautiful Saturday, because even if Oklahoma LSU maybe is only a 10 to 14 point win by someone, it should still be fun. And then you take a break, you refill the fridge or empty the fridge with your beverages of choice, and now you get to watch Clemson play Ohio State. The point spread has moved around a little bit, but we're looking at a game which I believe what I last heard was, okay, Clemson's now -2.5. So it's gone from 1 to 2.5. I don't think that point spread is going to go to 3 at all, because if it goes to 3, you're going to have people betting Clemson, or I should say people betting Ohio State. So it'll probably stay under the magic number of 3. The over-under is 63, so you're expecting a high-scoring game, but not the Oklahoma-LSU over to the 70s. For this game, Chris, I've just been telling myself, okay, Clemson was not as good to the eye as they were last year, but there has to be some little bit of a sense of just being in cruise control, because you know you're that damn good. So, you know, from watching football just from this year, you would say Ohio State is a better team to the eye. And they played a better schedule. They have looked more impressive. But in the back of my mind, I'm telling myself, okay, I know the Clemson lost people, but what if they flip the switch like they did last year and take their game up to that extra level? Then I think Clemson's the better team. This game is very intriguing. Do you believe that Clemson's kind of just steamrolled people who are lesser talent, but they still have the squad from last year? They still have the ability to put up a big performance? Or is Ohio State, should they really be the favored team? Because they've been the better team due to strength of schedule, Chris. But I think Clemson's getting the love because in the back of my mind, we're saying, well, they beat Bama. You know, they had another undefeated season. Now it's time for them to turn it on. Who would you have favored if you were making the line in Vegas? Do you take the Ohio State impressive year, or in the back of your mind think Clemson still is a better squad, even though they had an easier regular season?
Well, when it first came out, I remember we talked about this, and I thought it would just be – I did think Ohio State would be just a hair, like a 1.5 or something like that. So I'm pretty good 2.5 either way. So it's not really that surprising to me that they're favored. And, you know, they had really two tight games, and one of them was really tight, the North Carolina one. But even that A&M game, it wasn't as tight as maybe the score, you know, points that it was at 24 to 10 and whatnot. But 21 to 20, they barely got that that, you know, that W, but that was September 28th. And in the college football world, it's a sprint, but it's a marathon. You know what I mean? And the way you can improve down the stretch, it gets pretty crazy. And after that, sure, they played, you know, Louisville's okay. Boston College is okay. We know South Carolina pulled an upset. They're okay. Virginia, okay. But they did ran ransacked. 45-14, 45-10, 59-7, 59-14, 55-10. 52-3 against Wake Forest, who's actually not that bad of a club. So on the surface, you wonder when they get into a competitive game or if Ohio State comes out maybe feeling a little bit more and they jump up 14-3, will there be not jitters, but a little bit more anxiety, something that, because they just haven't been down in many games at all. So I think that does hurt you to an extent. Now you can make an argument that it helps you because you've been able to keep your guys fresh, you know, more than the other squad, but Ohio State's been able to do that too because they've, you know, mostly destroyed people too. So I don't know. I think it's a pick 'em type game and I'm okay on either side. Obviously Lawrence has more press clippings. He has a national title, you know, under his belt. He started the year kind of pedestrian for him anyway, considering that, you know, people have him as a number one pick when he comes out next year, not this year, in Lawrence. And he had a good year. He really came on strong. And he was, I don't know, he was throwing too many picks early in the season. He got that wrapped up. But then Fields may not have all these big game experience and has been in the conference finals and all that. Sure, he's been on a team that did it with Georgia, but he didn't actually do it on the field. But the dude threw for 40 touchdowns and a pick, and both of them have just workhorse, you know, running backs. So this is a pick-em type game. So I guess long story short, and when you look at these defenses, this is what I was kind of telling you in my point, my example here of LSU's defense comparatively. 12.5 points, Ohio State, with a tougher schedule, 10.6 they give up. And they're both in the 40s, 148, the other one 46, almost 49 for Ohio State, so as far as points per game. To me, this one comes down to turnovers and who has the ball last. You know, will it be driving the field to – you know, to try to score a touchdown or a field goal to win, or will it be a turnover on downs and whoever has the ball does a victory formation? I definitely think with half of the fourth quarter still on the table or still left remaining, that the game itself will definitely be at hand. I look for this one to go down to the closing moments, whether that's minutes or seconds or whatever.
I'm going to go on a little bit of a limb, I guess. I think Clemson takes care of business and wins by double digits. I guess I'm just going off how they've been in the past couple of college playoff bowls. And I don't know. I think maybe Dabu finds a way. Lawrence repeats what he did last year. So I will take Clemson to make the first half like competitive and close and then roll in the second half. Because this whole year, Ohio State has dominated the second quarter in basically every game this year except the Big Ten championship against Wisconsin. They were down in half, but besides that, they have crushed teams in the first half almost every time this year, and I don't see them doing that. And I think at halftime it's a close game, and I think Clemson rolls in the second half, so I'll take Clemson to win by 10 points. Let's go Clemson 42-30. So, I don't know, just be a little aggressive, and I'll put some money on Clemson. But I just think they're going to show they're a better squad, and I'm just doing this based off last year's. That's my best gut call. But I think the Tigers find a way to win, Chris.
Based off last year makes sense to an extent. Also, you know, it seemed like they had a couple tougher games but last year. But then again, you know, it's not like the last 2 years they've had that much. They had tighter games, like I said, but the competition still wasn't there. It could be like a couple years ago when they got, be in the conference or in the semifinals though too when they hadn't really played anybody. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. But I'm on the other side of that. I'll say what's the over under 62? So I'll say 37-33 or something like that. I think it'll be a really good game all the way to the fourth quarter. As far as some of the marquee matchups on New Year's Day and right around there, number 6 Oregon against number 8 Wisconsin. In Oregon, as far as recruiting goes, they sure won some battles against your USC Trojans. That'll be another discussion for another day. But what do you think here, man? Oregon had it right there for them. They had it, Marshall. They had it right there for them. Okay, you lose to Auburn. No big deal. You actually had a chance to win that game. They ended up coming back and winning that game over you. You look good for the rest of the season. Comes down to Arizona State. You end up losing 31-28. But you did bounce back and just house a really, really, like, borderline great, but at least a damn good, very good team in Utah, good program in general. Does Utah and Wisconsin kind of mimic, obviously Wisconsin's had more, you know, success, but can you kind of see the resemblance there in how Oregon might have an advantage against them, similar to the advantage that they have with Utah, being that they got a strong defense, they run the game, they're kind of conservative, they don't have a star quarterback. What do you think here? You think Oregon's going to get the W, or is Wisconsin going to kind of, you know, they closed very strong. They were right there with Wisconsin in that game. They just couldn't close it out. Right now it is a 3-point, it's only 3 points, 51.5 over under. And, my screen just went dead real quick. I think it was a 3-point spread.
Yeah, it is.
What do you think on this one?
I guess I might want to do some research right now, Chris, but are you there? Yeah, there was weird noise.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Wisconsin's favored is, let me, as I'm talking, that surprises me because I don't think they're the better team. Is Herbert sitting out is what I guess. Playing, because if Herbert's playing, I don't think Wisconsin should be favored at all. So is he sitting out for, you know, the fear of being injured?
You're gonna have to Google that because I don't know. I don't believe I heard that.
Herbert met with the media on Friday to discuss playing in the Rose Bowl. Reason.
So there's some vagueness with that.
I guess to me it surprised me because I assume that if Herbert, I assume the line is the way it is due to, that Herbert wouldn't play. Because from how both teams have played this year, Oregon's a better team. They have probably just as good of a defense and definitely a better offense. But the Badgers are favored, so. And it does. It's not completely, you know, I don't think it's, I think it's maybe a gray answer, but Chris, I would assume if this point spread is the way it is, I think that's Vegas' way of saying we don't think Herbert's going to play. Maybe I'm completely off, but I'm a guy that loves to gamble and pays attention to this stuff like that. But
well, hang on. I got that interview. I'm going to run it real quick of him talking about it real quick.
Oh, okay. I was really honored to be able to meet such great people along the way. It was a really cool experience. How about Wisconsin? What do you see out of their defense? They're about as good as it gets. I think top ranked defense in the country, and we're doing our best to watch as much film as we can to see what we can do. But we're really excited for the opportunity.
Do they like anybody you face in terms of schematically and stuff like that?
I think they're their own type of three. They're really special. They're really well coached. They've got really athletic guys and really smart defensive players. So it'll be quite a challenge, but we're looking forward to it.
If you told 10-year-old Justin Herbert that he'd be playing in a Rose Bowl during his last year of college and be quarterbacking the team that you're recruiting for, what would he say?
Probably tell him to wake up. it's such a great opportunity. It doesn't get any better than this.
Well, I mean, I'd be surprised if he's not based off that interview with you. I mean, he's just saying he's going to play. They're talking about when he's a kid and dreaming of it. So it'd be pretty weird to sit there and break down all this tape. Would he even be with the team right now? Wouldn't he be working out or something like that? I don't know.
I guess I'm honestly just blown away. So I would definitely lean Oregon. I just think they're a more complete team. I mean, I guess you'd say they could view it as a letdown spot, but they knew they couldn't make the championship after they lost to Arizona State. So I'll admit I'm massively confused. I think the wrong team is favored.
They already had a letdown anyway, you know?
Yeah. So I will gladly take Oregon +3. I think you have a better quarterback, better team. I won't say a better coach because I'm not the hugest guy at Oregon's coach, but
he's doing a damn good freaking job recruiting, I'll tell you that.
Yes, he is. So, all right, well, I will take Oregon to win the game as a dog. And you're right, we would have seen a clip now that shows that Herbert wouldn't play because if they're hiding this the last second, that's very strange. But, okay, well, yeah, I will take Oregon to win. What's your prediction on this game?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to pick Oregon outright, but – yeah, I mean, I'm pretty surprised, too. I just think that they'll, one way or another, you know, like that's why I was kind of shaping that Utah argument that it's very similar structure. Sure, Taylor's a better back, but it's not like, oh, boy, at Utah's a bum. You know, I mean, the guy had a great career so far. So not that they'll blow him out of the water. It can be hard to. Especially if they are running the ball to blow them out. But yeah, I almost said the Gophers. I'm going with the Ducks. I'm right there with you. I was a little confused there. Not that they should be like a 10-point favorite by any stretch. And hey, I mean, you saw that first half. Wisconsin's a capable team, no doubt about it. That was the second time they played Ohio State, and then they didn't score any more points. So that's a little troubling. But yeah, I'm right there with you. Then we have number 5, Georgia versus number 7, Baylor. Georgia is a 6-point favorite in this one. Baylor's defense has played better than their offense this year. You've well documented the Brewer situation over there where he's been kind of up and down and all around. Whereas it just seems like right now Georgia kind of has their spots filled. They know what they're doing. They got Swift. They got Fromm. They got, you know, experience. I didn't necessarily like what I saw out of them in the SEC bowl game, and that's what kind of makes me think, well, the SEC championship game. That's what kind of makes me think that they got that out of their system and that they're going to come back a little bit more hard-nosed than. And I don't think this is going to be, that up-and-down game. I think both of them will stay under 30, to be honest with you. Actually, let me check. So 41.5, there you go. So they're looking – Vegas is thinking exactly what I was thinking, even less, though. I mean, 41.5, I'm not sure about that. I was thinking it would be 45 or 50, but I do think both of them will stay under the 30s. They're both in the teens. Baylor's defense gives up a little bit more, but then again, they play an offensive league too. That's why we kind of walk our way through the stats. I think one of the key things is they can really stop the run, Georgia. 75 yards a game, that's really not much at all. So I think they're going to slowly but surely make Baylor a one-dimensional team. And we know you can't count 100% on Brewer. So I think that'll be the key to the game. What says you, sir?
I just wonder again about Georgia, the motivational level for them. Last year they lost in the SEC title game, and they looked like trash against Texas. This year you again lost in the SEC title game, you're out of the Final Four. Are you going to be ready to play? Meanwhile, this is Baylor's biggest game in the past, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. You had a team who went 1-11 your first year with your head coach. Now you guys are in a bowl game and almost won your conference. So I think Baylor should be pretty hyped for this game. This is the biggest game they've had in a long time. Georgia probably doesn't care. Now, if you put this game in like week 12 of the regular season, I think Georgia's hands down is a better team. They have a better defense and a better offense due to their running game. But I just think that this is going to be your typical an SEC team that's just disappointed with how their year ended, and Baylor should come in more focused, and I believe that will lead Baylor to a win. Again, I don't think they're a better squad, but when if you got nothing to play for and, you know, Georgia's just kind of like having another woe is me, well, here we go again. We could have made the Final Four. We screwed it up again. I think Baylor's going to be a more focused and desirable team, and they're going to get the job done. So I will take the underdog again.
And I'm going with Georgia. Like I said, I think that their defense is better than what they normally see in the Big 12. And also, they've been there and done that. And as far as, like, typical, I wouldn't say that's typical of an SEC to underperform in a bowl game, but or in a not as big a bowl game. But one, it's a Sugar Bowl. And you can make an argument about last year, but I think that's what the coach – when you have that ammunition, you got caught slipping last year. Okay, you got the ammo now to go, okay, do you want to go out like last year? Do you want to do all this? I think they'll be motivated. That's going to be a good game. Let's combo the early games on New Year's Day, and I'm working New Year's night and Christmas Eve during the afternoon just so I can have New Year's Day off so I can watch all these games here. That's going to be a hell of a run. Minnesota, Auburn, Michigan, Alabama, basically kicking off at similar times. Oregon, Wisconsin, and then Georgia, Baylor. Those four games are going to be fun that day. Let's combo package it because it's the exact same spread. Alabama and Auburn are the favorites over Michigan and Minnesota. I mean, do you think – I believe I know what you think with Alabama, who wins that game, but – do you think Minnesota could pull this upset? Because this will be the best team they've faced all year long in Auburn. Let's combo that 7-point spread favoring Alabama and Auburn. Alabama, Michigan, and Auburn, Minnesota, sir.
I mean, again, for motivational level, Minnesota, this is the biggest game they've had in, I mean, however long you want. I know it doesn't deal with a national title, but you're playing – the best opponent you faced all year. You're ending a season, which is the best season y'all have had in like over five decades. I mean, everything should be on the table for Minnesota here. Now, again, you are playing a better team in Auburn, but the one advantage they have, if the Gophers can put together a great defensive game plan, is you're playing against Bo Nix, who is not a great quarterback. So I think if you can keep the game close and obviously the weather's fine, which it should be in Tampa, the Gophers should be able to throw the ball in Auburn's defense, or at least try to. I know Auburn has great defense, but this is the best set of wide receivers that Auburn's faced all year. And you saw what Bama did to Auburn's defense, and I'm not saying
to be fair, though, hold on. I mean, I'm a big Minnesota fan, but LSU and Alabama wide receivers are pretty damn good. And this just in, they got a decent – well, they didn't have to face the quarterback, I suppose, with Alabama. But those units are probably – pretty close, though.
Well, I was going to say, I get that, you know, that LSU and Bama have better quarterbacks, but, I mean, offensively, the Gophers should have a chance if you can develop a game plan to stop the run, which was hard for them to do at certain times against higher teams, but I think it can be a game because, the motivational angle in bowl games is huge. Auburn probably really doesn't give a shit about playing Minnesota. I mean, just being honest, they had a great year this year. They went 9-3. Probably had the toughest schedule in the whole country, but, you know, their motivation is probably a little bit less. And, you know, if you can keep Bo Nix trying to beat you and your offense can do enough, this hopefully could be like a mid-20s scoring game for the Gophers. Now, obviously, there is the conversation of Auburn's got two defensive linemen who are pro talents, and are they going to play or are they not going to play? If Auburn's top defensive tackles take the game off, that's huge. And if the Minnesota wins, that's not an excuse or anything. You still won the game. But if Auburn decides that their top players decide to sit out, that's a massive advantage. If Auburn's full team is on the table, now your offensive line for the Gophers is going to have to bring in their best game of the year. So I hope for the Gophers' sake, I hope that it's a close competitive game. With all PJ's done this year, they're a hard team not to like. Obviously, we're both biased there. But I think you're able to come up with a scheme to keep Auburn in check. And hopefully you can score mid-20s. And for Michigan Bama, again, for motivation, I doubt Bama probably, in my opinion, doesn't care too much. This is the first year you've not made the playoff. Tua's obviously not going to play. Obviously, they're a much more skillful team. But Michigan, this is when Harbaugh can use the sell for next year. Again, the guy's having a great time in Michigan. He can't beat Ohio State, but his win-loss record is really good. So if you're Harbaugh, man, I would be building this game up as high as I can to sell the boosters, hey, we just beat Bama. Like, that's a perfect way to go into your next season, okay? And it gets the salty taste out of Ohio State out of your mouth. It's like, okay, we beat Bama, we beat an SEC team. Next year we're looking into it. Next year we'll find a weird way to beat Ohio State. This could be a huge win just to get the monkey off his back. If Bama beats Michigan, now you have the kind of, you get punched twice. Okay, well, you lost to Ohio State, and Bama took care of you. You guys are never going to beat an elite team. I think this is the perfect time for Michigan to put up a great win that can just Harbaugh can use for just for his own sake and for a little bit of talk in the media. So I will take Michigan +7. I just think Bama might lay a little bit of an egg because, again, for the first time in 5 years, they're not playing for a national title. Again, obviously, Saban's going to have him prepared. You know he wants to win as fast as anyone, but I would take the angle there of Michigan wanting it a little bit more.
With the points, I can see that. I'm more comfortable taking that with the points than Auburn, because Auburn averaged as many points as we did on offense. But there's a considerable, and I say we, Minnesota, there's a considerable difference when it comes to defense, obviously. But
true,
it is kind of tougher right now to call that, because that's not, it's like 9 days away, and especially if that D tackle doesn't play, like you said, or one of those offensive linemen. I mean, that would be major. So it's kind of tough. I'm going Auburn on that, but it's kind of tough to get a full grasp of that game just yet. So wait and see on some of that. But I like the points with Michigan. I think that'll be a grinded out game. You know, we've been on this underdog stuff. You picked even more than me right now, but there's a couple of underdogs that I'm looking at. One is Iowa State against Notre Dame. It's only a 4-point swing. You know, if Memphis could get in a track meet with Penn State, maybe they could do it. They're a 7-point dog. Maybe they could find it under. Here's another one. Iowa favored by 2 points over USC, your squad. I think USC is actually going to beat them. So there's a variety of these games that should be, like I've been saying, on the table all the way to the end, even a game after the big games in Kansas State and Navy. Complete different style matchup. Navy's a 2-point favorite. I'm looking at that going, I wonder if I shouldn't pick them. So there's a lot of live dogs. That tells you we're going to have some good bowl games once these things start to pick up.
Yeah, I agree. Navy, K-State will be a ton of running. It's going to be a lot of ground and pound football, but there are two teams that are very good at it. Obviously, it's always hard if in a bowl game to kind of prepare for an option. Obviously, you know, when you're playing the academy schools, it's always and that's kind of what impressed Gopher fans last year was they had to play Georgia Tech, who, you know, had still had the option with their old coach, and the Gophers did really well. So I suppose sometimes you can use the bowl prep time to your advantage. But when you're playing a team that runs the option, you haven't faced the option all year, that is kind of a weird thing because you can't really simulate that in practice. And you can't simulate, you know, linemen chop blocking you on every player going low. So it makes for a different thing. But yes, absolutely. I think the Navy-Kansas State game should be a lot of fun. You know, for Arizona State, Florida State, Herm Edwards, again, you won 7 games, and now you're playing a Florida State team, which is definitely beatable. And, you know, if you're Florida State, I mean, I doubt normally the coaches, if they get hired, I don't think Norvell's going to be on the field coaching. He's probably going to be busy recruiting. So from a gambling standpoint, I think you look at Arizona State because I think they're probably a more consistent team. I guess you can maybe see a flash in the pan down at Florida State because they have a new coach and something, but I'd look at Arizona State just because, I don't know. Because once you say, Chris, normally when guys get hired like this, they don't coach the bowl games normally, do they?
Yeah, normally they're just up in the booth.
Yeah.
Recruiting and stuff like that right now. Getting to know their players, but now they don't coach.
Yeah. And a few other – wow. Okay, Virginia has had the best year they've had in
how
long. and you're a 15. Wow. I mean, I know that Florida's a better team, and that's probably one of the best defenses Virginia's faced all year, but Florida's here by 15 points. That's
a lot of points.
That is. That's
especially
wow, that,
you could start flat. A lot of times in these games, it takes them 10 minutes or a full quarter to get that rust off a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And for, you know, you mentioned it, Memphis, Penn State, that'll be a fun game. That really should. You have Memphis, which is just a high-flying team. Obviously, Penn State, they're 10-2. They had a pretty good year as well. So I think that's a beautiful game to have going on. And then also Notre Dame and Iowa State are on at the same time. So you have Memphis, Penn State, Notre Dame, Iowa State, and that leads you into Oklahoma, LSU. That Saturday, man, that is a solid day of football. And then you get the NFL the next day. I mean, for those 48 hours, it is football galore. I definitely think that Memphis could knock off the upset. We're talking about underdogs.
Right.
I realize that Memphis's defense sucks. Memphis does not have a great defense. But, again, and I've been saying this a lot, but again, look at the bowl games. Memphis, you're playing Penn State. Like, you know, that's the biggest game you guys that Memphis has had in a really long time. Like, they're playing a top-notch school. The only thing that's a little bit scary is you lost your head coach, you know. So that could make things slightly difficult. But I thought FAU was going to get beat by SMU, and FAU went off. So I hope Memphis wins. I'm obviously pulling for them. And, again, if you're Penn State, you had yourself a nice year, but you're playing a non-Power 5 team. So I would like Memphis there. And Iowa State, Chris, they're not ranked. So,
yeah,
we
documented that, too. When they're not ranked, put money on them.
Iowa State could beat Notre Dame. Now, is Notre Dame a better team? Absolutely. Just from probably on the line of scrimmage and overall players. But
right.
Iowa State, they don't care who they play. They always put up a tough, tight, close game. So you're right. Lots of fun underdogs. And you're right. From about December 28th on up until New Year's Day, it is just tons and tons of good bowl matchups. We're going to be spoiled, man. It's a good set. Oh, and speaking of, sorry, one more thing. Air Force Washington State talked about completely different offenses. One team runs the triple option very well, and one team wants to throw the ball 65 times. Air Force is favored by 3 points. Obviously, we talked about it a lot this year, Chris. Washington State season really fell apart after they blew the game to UCLA. But just for watching a completely fun game of track yard football, Air Force is going to score points and Washington State is going to score. So that would be a fun game to watch. I actually would take Washington State to win that game there as a 3-point underdog, just because I think a lot of times when you see teams that are kind of fast tempos offense from big schools, normally the service academy schools don't have the athletes to match up with the speed. So Washington State, if they're focused, like there's no way Air Force's defense is probably good enough to contain a run and gun a team for 60 minutes. So I actually definitely love Washington State. Now, I think Air Force will score, Chris, but most of the time you just don't know the Air Force secondary is probably not played a team this year like Wazoo, who's going to throw the ball 65 times and try to get 400 yards. So I would love the dog in that matchup.
Yeah.
As long as Leach has the boys ready to play. They've had a rough year, and he took a lot of shots at his own players in the media. But if they can get their stuff together and finish on a good note, I love that upset pick just due to the contrast of styles.
And, also, BYU and Hawaii tomorrow night at 7. I think it's a 1 or 2 point spread for BYU. That might be interesting. And just on a note, did you get that text I just texted you with the USC recruiting? I had to do it, man. I'm sorry. But it says USC pulled in 1 4-star recruit. 3 times in the last decade, 2018, 13, and 10, the Trojan class has actually averaged more than a 4-star, meaning they got a bunch of 4-stars and a couple of 5-stars too. 4 other times they've approached that 4-point number in the last decade as well. I mean, the Gophers got more 4-stars than USC. What the hell's going on?
Well, listen to this. Well, my best friend told me this morning, okay, so the number one recruited quarterback in the country, Southern California kid, he wore the number 5 jersey in high school because, quote unquote, he loved Reggie Bush as a Trojan. And he went to Clemson. Apparently USC just didn't, he said USC just didn't really want me. The number 1 high school quarterback in the country is in your backyard and is a diehard fan of your program, and you don't go for him? And now he goes to Clemson? Like, what? I don't know. Even if he get turned down, because that's one thing I've always respected the past couple of, like, Gopher coaches, whether it was, you know, Jerry Kill or PJ, like, they've been coaches trying to get the best kids. If a kid says no to you, big deal. You know, you're not going to get every player. Nick Saban doesn't get every player. But if you're USC, who is trying to get back on the higher level than where they've been, how you don't go for the best kid in the country and he's in your backyard and he loves your team? I don't know. Just stuff like that makes me wonder why Clay Helton.
It's not a good fit. You know, it's a system fit. It's just not a good fit.
God almighty. You can't even try to wine and dine the number 1 recruit in the country. That just shows you just stupid stuff like that keeps happening. And we wonder why USC can't get back to a Final Four contending team. It's embarrassing. It's sad. I don't know what the hell is going on, but Clay Helton somehow keeps his job yet again. It's frustrating, man. When I heard that, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And of course, yeah. I can't blame the kid for going to Clemson. Yeah, good decision. Good for you. I do the same thing, too. But, yeah, I wore number 5 because I loved Reggie Bush. Well, man, the door's open for you. Just go tell him hi. Say, hey, do you want to play for the Trojans? Like, but and those numbers, Chris, that's even worse. So clearly, either Clay Helton has been too distracted to do his own job, or the lack of recruiting, or he's just not a great recruiter, and it's really starting to hurt, the team where it matters. And
it's just the negativity coming from this podcast is the whole problem. You know what I mean? That's probably what it is.
Speaking of a little positivity, a tweet from Phil Steele, who's like the guy that writes the huge college football magazine. Auburn defensive lineman Nick Coe announces he will sit out for the bowl game. So hey, that is a step in the right direction for your Gophers.
That spread just went down. I bet. Put your money in right now, folks. It's dropping overnight. They were all looking for the steal.
Sadly, the Auburn defense is more than one player, but that definitely is a good sign for the Gophers that they're one of their stars is sitting out. So hopefully his buddy joins him. Hopefully
that
there's another.
We can run up the gut a little bit more than we were gonna. So.
True. True. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll see how that goes.
All right. And then we'll definitely be back probably next Monday, I'd assume. I'm looking at the times here. Probably next Monday. So we'll be in plenty of time. Well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Let's see. Because it is kind of a longer break. The 6th is when the national championship is. So, yeah, I'd say Monday. Well, wait. That doesn't make sense, does it? Because we won't even have those conference games yet. We don't even have the New Year's games yet, so
we're going to summarize the Final Four.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are only 2 games, so we'll figure it out. We'll definitely be back, though, to predict for sure the national title game, but we'll be back next week at some point. We'll definitely figure that out. Why don't you get us out of here, sir?
I will definitely have stories on who I happen to pick. Hopefully the picks go better than today. But it's time for me and my friend Chris to go watch our Vikings. Hopefully they have a good night. So we'll be back again soon, breaking down tons of football. There's literally like 15 good games coming up in the next 2 weeks. So if you're a college football fan, enjoy your Christmas break. Enjoy some time off work. Watch a lot of good football. And feel free to listen when we're back next week. The boys are out tonight. Have a good one. Peace.